the word of God we have read in the prophet Isaiah chapter 1. We shall read again at verse 18 of the chapter. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sin be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Though your sin be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. The prophet Isaiah here is dealing with that matter which the whole Bible deals with, which is the matter of sin. And he is very definite as to whose sins he is speaking about. He says, your sins. Each one of us must attend to ourselves as far as this matter is concerned. No one can take this on behalf of another. Each one, as we shall account at the day of judgment, each one for himself. So here and now we must apply to ourselves these things, your sins, for there is none of us can turn away from these words and say, I have no sins, therefore the message is not to me. The youngest, if you only knew it, as well as the oldest here, has every reason to consider their sins. And your sins are well known to God, every one of them. And that is perhaps what is here very clearly demonstrated, that God is aware of their sins, and none of their activities, their worship, their new moons, their Sabbaths, their shedding of blood, their sacrifice, none of that would do to wipe out the fact of their sin before God. And therefore he goes on to say, it is otherwise. Your sin is scarlet, your sin is red like crimson. And these are things, surely, which indicate that very matter, that they cannot be wiped out as far as man is concerned. And that's what he's saying to the people here, all their worship and all their sacrifices, your new moons, your Sabbaths, your appointed feasts, my soul hates them. They'll not do. The end of all worship, the meaning of all worship in this world, is this: to wipe out sin. That's why the worship of God is set up in this world, to indicate the matter of sin. And you have been among us here, we have been remembering the death of Christ. And in the death of Christ, in a very particular manner, this is what is set before us: the nature of sin. And in particular, in the death of Christ, we have set before us what's here: the scarlet and the red like crimson nature of sin. Because in the death of Christ, you were remembering, you had set before you, in the symbols of bread and wine, you set before you the blood of Jesus and the body of Jesus, separated by death. And there you have set before you, surely, the reason for that death, the reason why Jesus died, the reason why Jesus' death was remembered, and to be remembered, is this, that it brings before us this very matter of the nature of sin. Red is the color of guilt. And therefore we read in the Old Testament, with regard to their sacrifices, that this is what the psalmist was saying and the Samuel were singing. The blood there is poured out, not as if God were thirsty. If I were thirsty, I would not to thee for need complain. He's not thirsty for the blood. All the animals that were killed in the Old Testament, and in particular, say, the heifer, the red heifer, of which we read in the New Testament also, it will have to be a red heifer to indicate the color of blood. And when we come to Christ and we come to the wine of the Lord's Supper itself, why is it wine? Well, is it not indicative of the blood? That's why the wine is there, the red wine indicating the blood of Jesus Christ. And there we have an indication of the nature of sin. Sin is demanding blood. Sin is demanding blood. That's written right throughout the whole pages of God's Word, written throughout the whole Old Testament, and now in the New Testament, in the death of Christ, the same thing is written. And what is that? Without the shedding of blood, there is no putting away, there is no remission, there is no removal of sin. Sin is scarlet, sin is crimson, not only indicating the difficulty of removal and the stain of sin, but indicating this, sin is that which demands the penalty of death. The wages of sin is death, and what is death but the separating of soul and body? And that is what's brought before you in the death of Christ. His body and his soul were separated, and separated only in one way, separated by the shedding of his blood, as the animals of Old Testament were all killed in sacrifice by the effusion of their blood, and that blood was put upon the altar of God, thereby to indicate what's here, the cry of sin. There's a cry in sin, and every sin cries unto God in heaven and cries for vengeance. So we read concerning Abel, when Abel died, when Cain killed Abel, God said to Cain, the voice of your brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. It had a cry. The blood had a cry. The blood of Abel had a cry. And the blood of Abel had this cry. The cry for vengeance, the cry for blood. The cry that his sin would be dealt with, that God would deal with Cain according to what Cain had done. That's the cry that's here, that's what's brought before us in saying that our sins are scarlet, our sins are red like crimson, inasmuch as they call for blood, they call for the blood of the sinner, they call for your blood. Your blood, each one of you. That's what your sin is crying for, and may you come to know it, and may I know it too, that sin is crying for vengeance to heaven. There's a cry from every sin you ever committed. You have not heard that cry. You have delighted in your sin. You have heard the voice of sin. It's sweet and pleasant to you. But there's not a sin, dear friend, which you and I have committed. But that cry is crying to heaven now for vengeance, for the shedding of blood. And that's what we have, I say, in the death of Christ. There was in him a cry. There was ascending from him, a cry, or in connection with him, it was a cry for blood. His blood be upon us and upon our children. That's a cry that was heard in connection with Christ. His blood be on us and upon our children. There was a cry in connection with Christ when he was in this world. And the cry was that he must die. He must shed his blood. That was a cry that was arising. And the cry that was being heard in heaven. And now that cry was the same cry as is heard with regard to every one of you and myself included. The cry, whatever sin is a cry unto God for vengeance. A cry to God that this will be dealt with. Now as far as the Savior is concerned, as far as Christ is concerned, although he had no sin, being who he was, the eternal Son of God in our nature, nevertheless, he had sin imputed to him. He had guilt laid upon him. And as I said, red is the color of guilt. And there was guilt in the soul of the Redeemer. He became guilty. For what is it to be guilty? To be guilty means to be exposed unto the penalty of sin. That's what guilt means, responsibility for sin. And we know that as far as Christ is concerned, he was held responsible for sins without number. The sins of a number that no man can number were laid upon him in this world. And in remembering his death, this is what you were remembering, that the cry went up from that soul of Christ. The cry went up into heaven. And what was the cry? The cry was, here is one who is burdened, upon whom sin is laid, and every sin laid upon him demanded his death. That's what was crying for his death. It wasn't the multitude, it wasn't the people, it wasn't the Jews, even when they were saying, his blood be upon us and upon our children. That cry would mean nothing as far as heaven was concerned. It was a cry going up to heaven all the time he was in this world. And the cry that followed him from the very moment of his coming into the world until he cried out that it's finished was this cry. A cry from arising from the guilt of sin, which said, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. The wages of sin is death. And therefore, we find here, sin is scarlet, sin is crimson, crimson red. Crimson red means the blood, the life of the sinner, the life of him upon whom sin is laid, even in the case of Christ, where he himself was, like the red heifer, had never a yoke upon it, harmless, holy, undefiled. Still, the red heifer was slain, and so with Christ, he is slain, because it must be made very clear that there is the scarlet and the crimson. Our sins, friend, by being transferred to Christ, did not take away anything of their evil, did not take away anything at all of their cry, of their demand. When sin was transferred over to Christ, that did not alter the nature of sin. Murder did not become something different. Adultery did not become something different. It was all laid upon him. Every kind of nature of sin, it was lying there and had the same cry, I say, which is a cry for the shedding of his precious scarlet, red like crimson blood. And therefore, if we would learn the meaning of this text, this is where we must learn it. Your sins are scarlet, your sins are red like crimson. Asking for your blood, for your life, as surely as they did ask, as we have been remembering, for the life of the Redeemer. Well, we know, as far as Christ was concerned, his blood was shed. He shed his scarlet blood. He shed his red like crimson blood. He suffered all that sin in its nature cried out for to the God of heaven. There was no relent, there was no holding back. There was everything involved in it. His whole life was taken. His whole body was broken. His blood was shed. He died the death that sin called for. And that is what? Not just the parting of soul and body for a little season. Not just the parting of a soul and a body for a little season. You may imagine that when you die, it will only be for a little while. And at some future time, you shall rise again in the resurrection. And it will all be finished. No, friend. As we're hearing already last Sabbath evening, the rising of man again at the resurrection will be to meet this matter of sin and to meet this matter of your sin. And what about the death you died? Will that not do? Will that not answer? You've died, you've suffered death. You've experienced the separation of your soul and body. Will that not do in order to answer for your sins, scarlet and red like crimson? No. If that's all you have, you will find out this, that the death that sin requires not only means the separation of soul and body, it means the separation of soul and body from God and exposed unto his wrath forevermore. That's the nature of what's here. Your sins being red like crimson and your sins being a scarlet. That there's this pursuing of blood, there's this vengeance cry for vengeance reaching up to heaven, which is the death of the soul as well as the death of the body. The death that was written of in the Bible, which is called the second death, which follows the sinner into eternity. That's where you are, that's where every one of us are, as we are sinners before God. And that's where you must find yourself. Your sins, you must find, are crying out for your life. That's the cry you must hear, friend. With regard to every sin you ever committed, you must come to hear that cry. Just as we read in the Bible, when somebody killed another person, then he was pursued. The avenger of death, the avenger was pursuing the person. The person was running away, and falling close at his heels was the avenger. It was somebody who had a right to take revenge. It was somebody who had a relationship which meant that he could run after the manslayer. Well, so this is you and me. We are being pursued. You are being pursued. And you're being pursued by your sins. And will be pursued by your sins beyond the grave unto eternity. And this is the pursuit, crying for vengeance. Is that not scarlet? Is that not red like crimson? To look at yourself and realize, this life I now have, here I am with life, here I am with soul and body together. Yes, but your soul and body will be separate. And that's only the beginning of what's here. Your sins are scarlet, your sins are crimson. They demand nothing less than eternal death, eternal vengeance, or the vengeance of eternal fire, as the Bible puts it. These are your sins. Now that is what was exhibited in the death of Christ in a very extraordinary manner. He died, and the very death he died was the death that you are exposed unto. No difference. Though in magnitude his was great because of the greater number of sins for which he was responsible. But as far as the nature of it is concerned, it's the same death, it's the same wrath of God, it's the same vengeance of heaven coming upon the soul and upon the body of a creature like yourself. Your sins are scarlet, your sins are crimson. Nothing will do, friend, but the taking away of your life, taking away of your life forever, and bringing you to experience eternal death in hell. That's the first thing, then, I say, that comes to our mind with regard to the death of Christ remembered here and the text before us. Your sins are scarlet, your sins are crimson. Now, in connection with the death of Christ, there is another matter. You might say, or you might be ready to say, if you think at all, you said a minute ago that the separation between the soul and the body, when that would come together again, that would not be sufficient to answer for sins. Nor will it be, friend. We know we must all appear at the judgment seat of Christ, and we know very well that will not be the end, that you'll not arrive at that place, and I'll not arrive at that place simply feeling and knowing that we have suffered and experienced. Although sin was laid upon him, and sin demanded what it demanded, and proved itself to be scarlet and crimson indeed, in the precious blood of the divine Redeemer, no blood like unto it, yet it was there spilt in all its scarlet and red like crimson nature. But now we read with concern in Christ that although he died, we know that the death we were remembering was not the death of one who is still suffering, who is still lying in the grave, whose body and soul is still separate. No, we know that we'll remember the death of one who, though he died, he rose again from the dead. He is the living Christ. Now, when we look at that, what do we see? When we consider him rising again the third day and appearing in this world the third day, and furthermore, his ascending up into heaven, where he is now in heaven, we believe, as other song go up into heaven, we believe that Jesus Christ, though he died, is now risen up in heaven at the right hand of God. Therefore, when we look at this text and see sins, his sins were sins laid upon him, scarlet, crimson, red. What now? What does it mean that he is risen from the dead? It means this, that the scarlet and the crimson of sin is no longer pursuing him. Death is no longer pursuing him. Death is at an end when he cried out upon the cross and said, "It is finished." When he cried out on the cross of Calvary, "It is finished." What he meant was this: death is finished. The crimson blood, the scarlet blood as it were, has been shed, and I have endured. I have endured, he could say, the penalty of sin. I have suffered the due reward of all the sins that were laid upon me. And what does it mean? It means he relieved, he delivered by his rising again from the dead. God gave testimony to this, that he was delivered from all the penalty which he was lying under with regard to sin. He would not have come out of the grave if it were not so that sin and all the sins which were lying upon him were answered for in the scarlet blood and the crimson blood that he shed, in the death he suffered on the cross of Calvary. Then the scarlet and the crimson, as it were, disappears out of our sight, as it says here in the text, that instead of scarlet, instead of red like crimson, we read now of the opposite. We read of white, white wool, white as snow. What a complete change, a complete wiping out, a complete removal of the sentence of death. The sentence of death is gone. He dieth no more, in that he died unto sin once. He died unto sin once. He died no more. He is risen from the dead, to die not, to die no more. That means that the scarlet and the crimson is passing away. And what do we see in Jesus? What we see in Jesus is this. We see him risen from the dead with every evidence of this, that sin is removed. He has paid the price. He has answered the demands of the justice of God. The penalty has been given. The blood of God has been shed. The blood of him who is God. The blood of the Son of God has been shed. He has suffered unto death. He has poured out his soul unto death. He has endured the cursed death of the cross. No more remains in order to him being delivered from that weight and that burden and that awfulness of sin that was lying upon him. He is risen from the dead. Assurance is given us of that. And therefore, looking at him, what do we see? We see these words applicable with regard to him. He was lying there. He's a demonstration of the very truth that sin is scarlet and sin is crimson red. Now we see him as risen the dead, and we see him no longer in that condition, but rather with sin removed, and sin removed completely, sin removed forever, so that It is white as snow. It is as white as wool. That's what we have in the fact brought before us, that Christ died and that Christ rose again from the dead. The rising of Christ from the dead, his ascension into heaven, is the witness to you of the text that's here before us. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red as crimson, they shall be as wool. In Christ we see, how the change took place, how the condition of Christ was altered from being under condemnation and exposure to the penalty of sin, to see him now wiping off all that load, cleansing himself, as it were, from all that guilt, accepted by God in eternity, as now he is before God, as white as snow, no sin lying on him now, no vengeance following him now. When he rose from the dead, no sin, no vengeance, no Jew could run after him now, no enemy could now demand his blood, no longer could they say, his blood be on us and upon our children. No, he's out of their hands. He's not only out of their hands, he's out of the hands of the justice which would demand his suffering as it did when he was before his crucifixion. And that's what we have here then in this text. The fact revealed that there is such a thing as sins scarlet and crimson being transformed and changed into complete and full and final removal, complete removal, complete eternal removal. Never again will they come upon him who bore the sins of his own body to the tree. He bore them to the tree and no further. The law pursued him, had its full force upon him, upon the tree. But when he died, when he shed that precious blood and cried out, "It is finished," then we have what's here, a picture before us of the removal of sin. Well, that's concerning Christ. Now we come back to the sinner, to yourself. The text says, your sins are as crimson red. Your sins are scarlet. And then he goes on to say, your sins shall be white as snow. Your sins shall be as wool. And how is it to be that your sins, the sins of any sinner like yourself, can be so transformed and changed? For I've said already, it's not as if you're going to die, and it's not as if you're going to die and say, by dying and by my body being separate from my soul, then I can hope that I will rise again at the resurrection without sin, without the vengeance of God pursuing me. I have shown you that is not the case. When you die, there's nothing in your death, friend, nothing in your death which will satisfy for your sin. It will be an eternal dying, as I said, an eternal pursuing of sin, if that's what you have when you come to die. That's not the way that's set before you here, whereby your sins, scarlet and crimson, can become white as snow and white as wool. How then? He is saying to you here in the text, your sins shall be white as snow, your sins shall be as wool. They shall be as white as snow, they shall be as wool. That means he is promising to them that they shall be delivered from the sentence we have been speaking about, that they shall no longer be pursued by vengeance, Sin shall no longer be able to cry out for the life. That's what's here before us. Your sin shall no longer be able to harass you. Your sin shall no longer be able to demand penalty for your sins. They shall be white as snow. They shall be as wool. It doesn't matter how many. It doesn't matter how great. It doesn't matter how long. This is what's here held out to us in the passage. Your sin shall be white as snow. Your sin shall be as wool. What a removal. Complete removal. As true as much as Christ then. As sure as Christ when he rose from the dead had his sins removed from him. The sin for which he was responsible. And as surely as death could no longer pursue him. And as sure as vengeance could no longer demand of him anything by way of life. But that he was now white as snow and white as wool. Then so surely that's what before us here. A promise held out to us. So it will be with you. Your sin shall be white as snow. Your sin shall be as wool. No difference. Shall you be as free from sin as the Savior was free then? When he came out of the grave, yea, before he came out of the grave, shall I say, when he cried out, it is finished. Shall vengeance have no more power in you than it had in him? Is that what it's saying? Yes, that's what it's saying. As surely as Christ came out of the grave and got the victory over it and answered all the demands of it, then so it is. That's what he's offering us here, nothing less. There's nothing less offered to the sinner. There's nothing less offered to you here this night. And what true regard in the divine Redeemer. A surely friend of death will never come a second time to him. It will never come upon those that are called upon here to believe. Your sin shall be as scarlet, shall be as wool. Your sin shall be white as snow. Look at Christ. See how white he is. Look at Christ, friend. See how like to wool, how like to snow. Not a spot remaining, not one sin remaining to be avenged for. That's what's here. Your sins shall be as snow. Your sins shall be as wool. What a provision. What a glorious thought. What a glorious expectation for any sinner. To think of this. To have this in front of you, looking at Christ and seeing Christ. And believing full well that death shall never again touch him. Unto them he shall appear the second time without sin unto salvation. You are assured of that. That death will never come near to Christ a second time. In other words, you're saying, he is white as snow. He is as wool as far as that's concerned. All that is removed. The blood and the scarlet and the crimson has all been spilt and finished and accepted. And that's how it is to be. He says here, your sins shall be white as snow. Your sins shall be as wool. But how is it to be with you? It is easy to understand it with regard to Christ. Perhaps. We know he died. We know he rose again. We know we've got all the evidence of it. That he is now white as snow and white as wool. Who was once stained. Who was once held guilty. Who was once pursued unto death, the very death of the cross. Now we see him. We see him now in heaven. We see Jesus. We see Jesus, friend, tonight. We see Jesus, white as snow and white as wool. And you're remembering in his death that he was one time scarlet and crimson. And now this is what you're seeing in Jesus. That he was relieved, he was delivered, he overcame, he answered the penalty. But how can we expect that this should be true? Concerning us, how can it be true concerning you your sins white as snow, your sins as scarlet. And if you are feeling your sins, and if you are exercised in soul, and if you are made conscious that your sins are there just demanding your everlasting death, you are persuaded by the God of eternity and by the Word of God. You're convinced of that more and more and more. The wages of my sin is death, and I'm being pursued by death. I'm being pursued by the power of death. And I see nothing will do but my blood to be shed, my soul and body to suffer. I see my sins as scarlet. I see my sins as crimson. I see my life gone. I see nothing before me but the blackness of darkness forever. How then say to me about my sins being white as snow and white as wool? Well, here is the answer. Though your sins are that, there's a though in it. It's not a matter of ease. It's not a matter of something light, easily to be believed. The word though indicates this. How can a soul so scarlet and crimson colored be transformed? If you look at the Redeemer himself and look at Christ, how can you think of him who was loaded? Look at the scarlet and look at the red crimson there with regard to him. And you might well wonder, how can that be removed? How can it be white as snow and red like wool? Well, we know how. With regard to him, although we do not grasp but very little of it, there's a though in it with regard to him. If we knew that as much as in regard to you, there's a though in it. Though does not mean any doubt, but though means here, surely. The meaning of the word is it's calculated to bring out this, the great difficulty, the great almost impossibility. How can it be? Though means to suggest, and does suggest, the greatness of it, the magnitude, the wonder, the amazement of this. Well, so it was with regard to Christ. If we could understand it, which we cannot. If we really had any knowledge of Christ in our nature, frail human nature, in a body of flesh and blood, a human soul created, if we were really to contemplate that soul of his and that body of his, and scarlet and crimson, as I said, of sins innumerable, all demanding and did demand the penalty of death and suffering and wrath, we might well say, how can it be that it shall be as wool and as snow, but that we know it is the Christ, the Son of God. Otherwise, we could never expect it to be. Now you come to your own soul, and you as a sinner find yourself pursued by death. The wages of sin is death. You've come to believe that. You've come to be pursued in your mind and heart and soul. There's nothing you are so sure of as that. That the wages of your sin is death eternal. The scarlet and the crimson is there. And therefore you say, how is it possible for me ever to think of escaping, of being delivered? How can I ever think of my soul being white as snow and white as wool in reference to this matter? That I shall not die and shall not be pursued into eternity with a cry of vengeance. Well, he's telling you, first of all, it is, however difficult, though it may be difficult for you to believe, and is difficult, and should be difficult, and is totally contrary to an awakened conscience feeling, if I know what that means. It's totally contrary to an understanding of sin. The more understanding you have of sin, the more you feel, how can it be? How can the scarlet and the crimson, the guilt I'm lying under, how can that be removed to be white, to be removed forever, never to come back again, not to return again forever and ever and ever, not to meet me at death in the judgment seat? Well, that's the difficulty. But he says here, though, and the though is a positive word, there's no doubt about it. There's no question, however difficult it is, however amazing it is, all that's in the word though, but this is not in it. Doubt. No question of what God is saying to you. He is saying to you, though it is so difficult for you to believe, though it is so amazing a thing, though it is so wonderful, though it is so beyond all human understanding, as we are in ourselves, yet the fact is there, the truth is there, the promise is there, the word is there. Your sins, though scarlet and crimson, shall be white as snow and white as wool. That's the word of God. Now, the question arises, how? How can it be? Well, I have already said, looking at Christ, we see how it was with him, that basically, here, and that's what's behind the Lord saying to us in the text, come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. You have to think about it. Reason. Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Find out the reason. Find out the how. Find out how it can be that your soul, and your own soul, nobody else's soul, your own soul, how can your soul enjoy this promise, take hold of this promise, believe this promise, though my sins are scarlet and crimson, to believe that they shall be white as snow? And when is my soul going to be white as snow? When is my soul going to be white as snow? Now. Not tomorrow. Now. Not a future promise. The sinner must be relieved. The sinner is to be relieved. Now and presently from this scarlet and crimson condition. Pursued and fearing the penalty of his sin. That to be immediately removed from the soul. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. You're to reason. The Lord is calling you. The Lord is calling you, friend. Now, though I am speaking it, it's the Lord that is calling you and calling you now to come and find out the reason he has for saying this to you. Well, the reason I have touched upon, the reason he has given, is simply what I said. The reason for any sinner to entertain this promise, to believe this promise. It's not just the fact that God is saying it, that's enough. But he is giving you reason. He's not saying it to you without showing you the reason. And the reason I said was in connection with Christ, that you are fully persuaded that the soul of the Redeemer was scarlet and crimson red, and you're fully persuaded that with regard to him it is white as snow and clear as wool, white as wool. Well, on that, that's the reason that God is holding out to you as a ground upon which you can have this promise fulfilled in your soul. He points you surely to Christ. Now he's asking you to come. Come now, he says, and let us reason together. There must be a meeting place. There must be a coming to the Lord. There must be coming to the God of eternity as he is making himself known in Christ. He's asking you to come and reason this matter, not to be left there, not to be left as a matter of mere knowledge. But you know it's written in the Bible. You can tell me the verse, Isaiah 1:18, it's common. You can tell me you've heard on it, you've heard sermons on it before, and so on. That's not the point. The issue is this, that God is saying to you now, come. And I'm promising you, upon your coming, I'm only inviting you for one end. That's all he's inviting you for. What a glorious invitation, friend. God is asking you to come to him now, not to destroy you. Not to destroy you, though you deserve to be destroyed for your sin. But to learn out something of the grace of God. But he is saying to you, come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Learn how I have put away my wrath, how I am satisfied with the death of Christ. I am satisfied with that death. That's what God is saying to you, meeting you in Christ. I am satisfied with him. And I am asking you, that's all I'm asking you, to be satisfied also. To believe that, as I said, these words, red like crimson, scarlet, being true of the Redeemer to begin with, now chained to white as snow and white as wool, in order that God might say to sinners, to all sinners who hear the gospel. And Dr. Kennedy says, with regard to this very text, he said, anyone who has heard this gospel can only lose their souls by suicide, spiritual suicide. That's the words of Dr. Kennedy, a man of balance. Those who have heard the gospel can only lose it. Another thing of Dr. Kennedy's in the same context, talking about the word come now, he said, the people of God, he said, it will be a coming and a coming and a coming all the days in this world. A coming and a coming and a coming all the days that they're in the wilderness journey. Come now and let us reason together. There'll never be a day but you'll be reasoning on this matter. You'll be burdened with sin and fresh sin. And where do you come back to? You come back to this. The Lord is saying, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord, not man, not Isaiah, no. I couldn't rest in Isaiah, but I can rest in Isaiah, speaking as a servant of God. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If you perish, sinner, you perish because you refuse. He bless his word. O blessed one, have mercy upon us. May we believe thy truth. May our eye be open to see what thou hast done in providing one who was able and willing to do what he did. May our eye be open to see him now, exalted and risen, away from death forever, death never to reach him, beyond the grip of Satan and the law and death, conquered and victorious. Oh, may we look to Jesus, who ascended on high. Wash away all our sins for his sake. Amen.